All right, I'm calling the meeting to order at 5:32. Greg, can you report attendance?
Yes. Anne, are you here?
Here.
And this is Greg. I'm here. Kara, are you here? Sarah, are you here? And Donald is absent. We have quorum.
All right, is there any need to reorder action or discussion items? All right. Hearing none, we want to move into our community agreements discussion. So, as I think everybody saw, we're like thinking about different ways to run our board meetings this year to be most effective. And Christian and I got to a discussion around these community agreements and knowing that the intent of these was, or the intent of bringing these in was to try to create spaces at all levels of the school that are reflective of the culture that Christian and Daniel are talking about with staff and students and using these kind of as a proxy for that. And in that, we also discussed that there's some of these that feel probably as is makes sense in the board space, and some of these probably need a little more exploration about what does that look like in a board meeting. And as an extension of, or as an extension of work that Krishna and Daniel have already been doing in staff, in their staff retreat days earlier in August, was to start asking questions about what does this actually mean and look like in different spaces, in different conversations at different moments of school. So I don't think my proposal is not to do anything with this tonight. My proposal is just to name that that was a conversation that Christian and I had and a question that I'm hoping that we come back to and I'm thinking probably in the next meeting or the next couple meetings, looking at a few of these to say, to do some brainstorming around like, okay, if we are welcoming discomfort in the public space of a board meeting, what does that mean? What does that look like? How do we like, what does that actually require of us to do that? So that's what I'm thinking. Any response, concerns, spread outrage?
I feel like I'm going to have to accept non-closure in this moment
Yeah,
right now till at
exactly.
least next month. That sounds good.
Krishna, you want to say the goals in life. What does it look like and sound like and feel like to do those things in this unique space is the ask of the board, because these were originally designed for creating safe space in non-public space with staff only. They weren't designed originally to be used to do anything but that, and in our non-public, staff space, we are looking at the next step this year that came up with some adjustments to these that will come your way at some point. Was the need to kind of talk about and like maybe have sub bullets of what does this look like and sound like, and what is that that could be different in a meeting versus like teachers wanting to do that in their classroom space or in a one-on-one with another staff, a small group of staff conversations versus school, like an affinity group. So I think the board space is a really unique and different space, and like it's important to take the time and so you can team to like identify what these look like, what we want these to look and sound and feel like. In a public meeting, that is the purpose of our meetings, which is very different than the purpose of the creation of these. Hi, Bruce. Great. So yeah, that's my offering is that we'll kind of go through these. Christian and I can do some work ahead of time to kind of think about which ones we want to do, and then we'll go through those as the opening exercise for the next few months.
Great.
Cool. Oh, that is like All right, go check in. Board and community appreciation time.
I'll appreciate Alana, who I heard was going to be helping out leading around t-shirt work.
And then I said, she's not done in 40 minutes. Here you go.
Amazing.
So they will be available for sale on the morning coffee next Friday. I'm going to play back to it, but she will be the lead on that.
Thank you, Alana.
I have to call the back with the new system.
Yeah.
I would like to appreciate the parents.
I was going to appreciate that as well.
Yeah, the parents who are out there for the first week, as well as Daniel and Cody, who are all also out there being very present and visible to our parents and helping get kids in the
I wanted to piggyback on the traffic piece, the traffic supporters piece, and then just to all set for wait start to the school year. There's kindergarten tears as always, but there's a lot of good vibes, and like that. So it's great to have piggyback.
Hearing the traffic volunteers will probably appreciate it. We don't need to get wrong.
God's work right there.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to play next to when you assist.
I want to appreciate all the staff who, in coming back, didn't just come back, but like changed roles, grew into something different, or maybe, I don't know if they were all opted in or if they were told to move or whatever, but it seems like there were movement, and that's not always the easiest thing. And it seems like folks are doing a great job. So,
new members of our street team, we're right in and are in life now.
Feeling it,
but it's been.
And I see you've got one. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to appreciate Miss Issa in particular. My oldest had a great experience in her class last year, and also the support that Christian and Daniel gave to that classroom, Sequoia. My youngest is having a great time in California Poppy so far. It was a really good transition. So appreciate that. Very personal appreciation.
I want to appreciate Miss Melody. I've never worked or seen a school that had after school care on the first day of school. and know that is a beast to pull off, especially on for the day that's long for them. So really appreciate her.
Definitely, Jane Times Avenue, both Kevin, Mariah, and Steven.
Any last ones? Any board member comments? There's nobody?
Not on the agenda?
Oh.
I don't think so.
I was already.
You're going what?
I was already.
Oh, presentations from the floor. My bad. There are no members of the public on the Zoom call, and there are none here in the meeting.
Cool. Let's go to the head of school report. this section, and men catch skills stresses me out.
You're good. You're good. You gotta believe.
No, I think it. We've got some upcoming things already on our calendar. Back to school night a little later this year on number 6. So, in terms of personal training, we'll be doing it. We'll be beginning our training shortly. Middle school on September 15th. All school civil screening is actually happening now. For that feeding day.
So Anne can hear you, and everybody can hear you.
And everybody
on the recording.
And Elizabeth Slade will be visiting the 13th and 15th in support of both, hopefully, yeah, in support of our resident trainings as well as other professional support the school.
In June also, but we completed our second summer of our training with our residents. Averaged, our target was 18 new lessons a day, which I think we more than covered, actually, which included a trip in the middle to the Monster for Social Justice Conference in Chicago, which we came back with a bunch of resources. In our summer program for expanded learning, one of the highlights was our murals from the elementary classrooms that you can see on the yard, which was really nice for the first few days of school. So, welcome to Warrior Classrooms, the second door from the right. So that was really nice. And there were lots of other activities that happened there. Ran until July 31st, the day before staff came back on the Tuesday.
A hanging Monday.
There's some people there. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So our PD weeks, I said we only had 9 days instead of 10 days. We went from August 1st to the 11th. We worked on lots of different things, including updating our community agreements. We had some fun community building events. Lots of work on environmental course. We looked at our core values and connected that to our everyday work and goal setting. We still want to go in the auditorium. We created our framework for our site leadership team and actually have met as a site leadership team since then. So we can start updating you on the work we're doing there. All the support teachers went through a Montessori training, which facilitated, but it was through the National Center for Muslim Public Sector. And then we had lots of organ building training for our leads and some of our TI staff. Many other things. It was a really busy 9 days.
And you were in training on why our effects school night is 1 week later. This teachers did additional training this week and next Wednesday. All right, so just quick updates to where we're at. We do not yet have our budget and numbers for enrollment, but we have been adding new kids daily. We're going to launch it again in September. We have some people that have reached out to tour that want to enroll to not this year, folks. But we just want to give classrooms a few weeks to settle in before we started touring around. But everybody should tell their friends and family that we're accepting applications in all grades, and that kindergarten has a significant wait list, but all other grades, even if they have wait lists, are not significant, and we'd love to receive applications in all grades.
especially spots in lower and middle school. Those would be the kind of very quick entrances for anybody who is looking for other options in those spaces. I think this might be a, we know it'll be a great group for kids. We're also actively marketing through social media. So we started last year our marketing conference with some marketing for social media, and we're so look for a bus ad going up. It's supposed to go up on first week of September, though. It might be a little later than that.
Do you know where?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember which line it is. It's a specific line. It was the one that we could get closest to sort of 880, the general 880 corridor. But that wasn't actually an option to choose. I think you have to choose specific line that it goes on. And it runs for a couple of weeks, but then they only take it down if somebody else contracts it. So sometimes you get 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. They don't guarantee it, but they don't actually remove one ad until someone else pays for the next one. So I think there's a solid chance it'll run longer than this couple of week contract. And we'll see like if there's an uptick in applications once it goes up, or applications from a particular zip coded area.
Where in the applications, is there a way to track where people hear about us?
That's a great question. There is in the other marketing campaign, like they're asking very clear questions and sending, you know, like we know because they're clicking through, which usually like the click through kind of thing. And it goes, it includes direct interface with not that direct, but like you ask a question and it shoots one back to you like a text interface. But I don't know whether the schoolment or the Oakland Enrolls one has a spot to do that. Like we can ask for our tours, and I think there might be one. Yeah, people like sign up for interest for a tour.
Okay.
That's a great question.
Who's holding enrollment and marketing, or not enrollment? Who's holding marketing? Is that right?
It's mostly me, but me and Buck.
Okay.
Right now,
are
like. At least holding the top of that work and trying to like, we're mostly doing it though ourselves at this moment.
Excuse me.
Well, if you or if he or you want to, or if you think there's someone on staff who was interested, I got somebody I used to work with developed this, an online course to help schools boost enrollment using digital advertising, if that's. And I think it could, I mean, it could be cool professional development for someone who's interested about like design eye-catching ads, capture qualified leads, optimize around key data. So
and like our social media campaign was asking for like new pictures from here. And I'm like, oh. So like I was contemplating like asking like, do we have a parent who's like a professional photographer who will come in? Because we had professional photographers on staff last year who were doing that on the side, who we stipended extra to do that during their workday.
Oh,
so,
that's cool.
But
they moved.
So
well, Rex Manicure.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Who has two kids here?
And you have a question or comment?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted to know, Krista, to close the loop, did you work with the person that I had found through the bus ads? Or okay.
Yes, I did. And it's done and going up. It's paid for.
Great.
And supposed to be printed and put on the bus in the next 2 weeks or so. Yeah, so thank you.
Yeah, happy to.
Okay, so a little bit, it's early, right? This is, we're a week, just shy of 2 weeks into school. But our current student and staff attendance is off to a great start. Student attendance up through this day is currently 96.4%. If that stays where it is, that'd be very great for our budget. And so definitely and allows a little bit more wiggle room for enrollment numbers if attendance numbers remain a little bit higher. We are not clued in. I'm not expecting that to stay at that level since our historical has always been between 93 and 94% typically. So like it'll probably scoot down, but it'd be lovely if we can maintain those higher numbers. And staff attendance is even better than that at this point. And this includes PD days because we start counting 9 days earlier, and we began counting on August 1st and are currently at like 97.5% attendance for staff. And it's been, you know, there's been people out most days, but one or two not previous numbers that we were seeing when the pandemic was, you know, still in fuller swing.
I just wanted to comment. I think you guys put a reference to attendance in your weekly message last week, just thanking people for a great attendance. And that was nice. And then I also saw that I think someone sent out a message today, and it was a really kind, smart message.
Yeah, I was going to comment on that. I think that's the first time you've done that. And then your parents
freak out when they get
the Yeah.
Well, yeah, that was a little conversation between operations and admin today about like, hey, those letters are, they're like scheduled to go out. It's the client's item that is handled by our student information system. Also, attendance isn't always correct in those first few weeks. Teachers did not know the names of their students on the first day of school. And so there were errors, and we know there were some errors, especially on the first day. And like, so we want to get ahead of the parents feeling like upset about getting the letter, which is required to be sent, you know, and also like understand the process for like, if there's something wrong in it, you can tell us. Mm-hmm. And then also like, you don't need to respond to that at all. And if we believe that there's a bigger issue, we'll be reaching out to you personally, not via the form letter for Mary's. Glad that was well received. We'll see. We thought that would save us some emails that we would receive.
Definitely.
Every time they go out, we get a range of, worried to angry responses because it's confusing. Yep. Like legitimately. So yep. Staffing update, we're fully staffed for lead and support positions this year. We're still hiring for student support assistants and aftercare program leaders. So please share those positions out. We've hired quite a few new after school program leaders. Actually, this week we'll be starting next week, so that's like getting there is very close to staff now, which is great news. But we'd rather have some extras in that space. And I know there may be more families who want to join the program who we are putting off because we can't accommodate anybody else right at this moment. We'd like to accommodate everybody. And student support assistants, we need at least one, possibly more. Any questions?
You had 9 days in the summer for training, not your usual 10. Was there something specific that you like knew you couldn't get to? And if so, like, does it just show up on Wednesdays? Does it wait all the way till September 15th?
Probably a lot of things.
Definitely lots of things.
Okay.
Especially with the important dealing, it was more than just the 9 days. It was making the commitment to 4 full days for all leads, which was it's something that staff had asked for off and on over many years, and like, seemed like the right thing to do, but I think it definitely allowed for like less time for really digging into some of the ABAR work that we usually do. We did not do that. We spent time on that in the first week, but I think that and we also have a good system of the ongoing work on that, but other things as well.
I feel like got pushed back a little bit is more like the framing around the child study and lesson study that we do once the year comes, but that's also stuff that a lot of people have been known for several years. So it's like catching up on new folks and like making sure that those first years are
more work too for that matter. Somewhat is like that. Like we've done affinity groups and we will continue them. So it'll be like catching up with new folks and for like the reasons why and what the processes for that.
Could you share just a sentence or two on Orton Gillingham? And just share more about what it is, why it's important.
Sure. Orton Gillingham is a like a process just for literacy acquisition. Generally, it's more commonly used in like RTI spaces, and in tier, it's like a tier two system that will support all teachers in knowing how to address like students who might, so in like elementary context, it would be supporting kids who are struggling to access the lessons, that the Montessori lessons the way that they are because they're not reading yet, right? It would be a tool used for that that's based in reading science around supporting students with dyslexia and lots of other specific things. So it's, you'll hear about it lots of places. So
yeah,
we had started with the idea of just like sending ed specialists and RTI books, but lead teachers had expressed in previous years when we had talked about it, as the staff had expressed interest in wanting to go through it. So we sent all the lead teachers to Shive
Middle School. I've not been given training, but I've also heard it.
Plays nice. Is the and is it kind of gear us up towards like complying with the new dyslexia screening law, which like I'm sure is not new.
It's more like, once you do that, then
this is what,
here's how we,
okay,
what you do with that information.
Okay,
how do we support students identify through screening?
Okay,
I think there's a piece of DIBLES or an add-on to DIBLES that we can, that qualifies them as dyslexia screening requirements.
And sorry, you said it's tier two.
It's generally tier two, or okay. That's how it will show up here, and it's tier two or three, right?
Right.
So in my pre-urban Montessori days, it was something that your ed specialist would, and your reading specialist would be trained in, and not gen ed teachers.
Yeah.
In another traditional space, that was what that looked like.
And
I never heard about all the gen
ed teachers are getting trained here, not supposed to be.
Not support teachers, lead teacher training. And support teachers did the Montessori support teacher training at the same time that lead teachers were doing. And so the SSAs and the support teachers did the Montessori training while the lead teachers did Orton Gillingham.
Is that something our support teachers have done before, or is that new?
Some of them have done parts of it before, but I don't think
yes. It's the same training we've tried to do before, right, but this time that do it.
Other questions?
I see, the meetings with Christian and Daniel at the beginning of the summer and end of the summer, so we get to like place ourselves around dates for we're productive, and we came up with like a whole list of like, here are the events for the entire year, which we probably get about flyers at the back school picnic, which we promoted with at the Ops, even before school started. And I posted them yesterday on Parent Twitter. It's basically like a whole list of groups that people can join. Here, do you want to plan the event, join this group? I did realize this morning that setting to that, and people can join the groups, but I fixed that. But we have like a schedule for the entire year around this.
That post was awesome.
So the first morning coffee. It's on the calendar as being on September 1st, but I'm talking with Marcella, and she might have it be September 8th. I will update the calendar as soon as I get confirmation from her. And then the first FAC meeting will be on November 20th, probably on Zoom for the first one, time to be determined. But we thought it would make sense to wait until after back to school night, so we can promote FAC at back to school night.
September 20th?
September.
Got it. Any Ann or Deb, do you have any questions or comments for your colleagues here?
No, I agree that the notice, the email that went out was awesome.
Right? I mean, there's always that.
There's always.
It's just here.
Yep.
Do it.
You link it into all future things. Yeah. All future emails happen.
Yeah.
And I got some funny comments for like fourth time I posted the, like, where to get your question, your questions answered. And they're like, wow, this is really helpful. And I was like, yeah, I posted it like 40.
Well, first agenda item on here is organizing dinner and board meetings.
Thanks for bringing dinner, Sarah.
You're welcome. Who wants to do next time? Great.
And I cannot do October because I don't think I'm able to make the October meeting, but I can. We're meeting in November. I can bring the November.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Anne, are you able to plan on?
Yeah. October? Yeah, I can do the following. Can you remind me of the date, the October date?
No. it's
26th. Yeah. I can do that one.
It is the 26th. Yeah. Okay, great. So that gets us through the new year.
Yeah,
perfect. Awesome.
Cool. Now I'm actually going to pass it off to Greg.
okay.
Because I'll say just bigger picture, Greg has shared a resource with all of us in the past, the book. And now I'm going to blank on the name.
Great on their behalf.
Yes, great on their behalf. Which talks about the ways that a school board can be most effective. And we, I brought that up at our executive governance committee meeting in wanting to explore more how these meetings should be structured to be most effective board meeting for Urban. And so Greg went to a conference this summer in Georgia with the author of that book and got a lot of training and materials. And so I said, amazing, why don't you bring those materials as a place for us to launch from, to start to get some common language and common understanding about the kind of effective board framework, to think about what are the ways that we can start shifting some of our practices towards those. So that's my framing, and I'll pass it to Greg, who is the expert and brought us these awesome resources.
Well, I'll start off by saying I'm definitely not the expert. I am actively trying to become an expert in this realm, and I am very far from any official certification. That's just to be crystal clear. Yeah. They certify people as coaches who then go work with boards. So I am not a certified coach. And if we want to work with a certified coach, like after I share more about this, those opportunities exist. They cost money. And it's totally a real option. But I really appreciated from the book and from the training that this really, I felt like what we've gotten really good at Urban is being like a legal professional board, even though many of us are, you know, family parents of the school, that like we understand our basic responsibilities and our meetings are run appropriately, and you know, we comply, and you know, the public has an opportunity to weigh in and all the things. And I think that is all really good stuff. And what I really enjoyed about, you know, the book and these resources is that, you know, you can do all that, but there's a whole other level of like, are you effective? You know, and there's a lot of, so they've organized a bunch of resources around how you go relatively linearly from where we ever we are currently to this notion of effectiveness. And they're very this framework has a very specific definition of what it means to be effective, right? So we should grapple with that if that's really something we want to aim for. And I said this in executive, and I want to say it again, like, this is not about getting to the school to aim in a different direction or to use different strategies or different pedagogy, not at all. The process that new things could emerge by going through the process, but if they emerge, they'd emerge because, like, they're authentic, and that, you know, people would want them. Mm-hmm. I'll just share a little bit more, which is that if we wanted to get started on this, it really is about, there'd be some reading folks should plan on doing, including admin. And we'd spend a lot of time learning about, like, the language of, you know, what's the board's work, what's the superintendent's work or the head of school's work. As I read the book, and one of the things that really attracted me to it was, like, this really helps you get clear in those moments of, like, is this really some parent is, you know, bringing up a concern. Is this even the board's work, or is this the superintendent's work or the FAC's work, or, like, who is this? Should this be the teacher? And it, you know, whoever. And so they kind of give they literally give phrases to use with different folks in those moments. Like, you know, you'll get better service if I can help you get connected here, like, that's the more appropriate place. And then come back if it's, you know, still an issue and things like that. The superintendents so far that I've spoke to who have been on this in the superintendent seat, but have gone through this sort of a process with their board, they come out of it like kind of liberated, because basically the board's work gets defined and then everything else is the superintendent's work. And it's like they're driving it there, and they have a lot more. And it kind of immediately screamed Montessori at me, because I was like, it's freedom within the limits, you know, like, it's, you set up a few limits. What? I know that. I'm not trying to simplify Montessori, just making a connection that there, you know, that instead of, like, the author and the coaching is really like, the board should not be telling our head of school what to do. And in fact, you lose points in meetings whenever you give suggestions or make offerings on all these things. Like, it's like you empower them, and they obviously, a leader can ask for whatever they want, and that's fine, but it really is about the board behaving differently, which then can cascade down to others behaving differently too. And the board simply sets a few things that they say, you know, as long as you don't do these things, we're good, you know. And then it really, but because you don't have to delineate all the things you have to do, it's like just a few things you don't do, and then everything else, you've got a lot more freedom. So that was part of the attraction for me. Deb is commenting, limiting, micromanaging, setting direction, performance measure. Absolutely, Deb. And it cascades, you know, the most advanced version of the work does cascade all the way down to, like, performance evaluations and things like that. It calls on the board to do its, like, a set board assessing, like, in public, you know, take the time in a public meeting. It really anchors in on the board listening for the vision of the community, which we wouldn't be starting from nothing on that. We not only have a vision, but, like, we could, but they're not asking us, the process doesn't ask you to, like, listen for, like, the pretty wordsmith vision. They're like, what are the 5 pages worth of things that we want true for our children? Like, what do we want true for our kids to be able to know and do it? Like, it gives space to, like, having all the things. And, well, 20 parents said this one, and 100 parents wanted this, and that kind of thing. And from there, only a few goals get distilled. And then from there, interim goals get created. And then the author talks about the guardrails, which are the things, like, you can't do as long as you don't do these things. Then there's a process of developing a monitoring calendar. So it's like, I would imagine in this process, we would end up
eventually still wanting to use NWA data, for example, in a particular way to monitor progress or some other piece of data that we already are using. But it would be really clear that, like, we look at it here and here and that's it. And this is what we're looking for on these few things. Then staff might use it for all sorts of things, but it really could help the board clarify, like,
that aligns with what
it's already trying to set up. Yeah. Yeah. I'm really not even doing it justice right now. I'll wrap up and then I'll open up for questions. But really, like, the board spends a lot of its public meeting time monitoring progress towards these goals, which obviously you can't do until it's all developed, or at least taken from the work that's already on the ground and kind of codified according to the plan. And then an effective board spends at least 50% of its public time, like the minutes, engaging in that level work. And then the things that are legally required for the board to do, and then everything else, if it can be delegated, should be delegated to the superintendent. So there's a process around policy diet, where, like, the board is asked and administration engages in, like, which of these are required to be held at the board's level and which of them need to, like, be sunsetted and turned into, like, administrative regulations. And then same with committees. Like, if the board is spending 50% of its time thinking about these student outcomes goals, what students can do the coaching would say, you might not need an academic oversight. Like, that is we're all doing that because that's the main thing. And I'm kind of going backwards, was that it all focuses on the purpose of schools is to improve student outcomes. And there are other things that schools do. There are adult outcomes that matter to schools. There are student inputs that matter and adult inputs that matter. There's plenty of other things, but it gets really clear but at the end of the day, the purpose is to increase or improve what students know or can do. And so it's really like you spend time thinking about that, building that mindset, and things kind of cascade from there. So if that's the main thing, then the board should be spending its time on that. And when the board spends its time on that, and that's our questions for our superintendent, then that's likely to be what the superintendent spends time on. And then that's how the superintendent's going to spend time with their cabinet, you know, their admin team. And then that's how their admin team's going to cascade to teachers and stuff like that. And that's how you accelerate the outcomes of students. So I guess I'm curious, like, if I was in Krishna's seat, I might be like, oh, this sounds like a lot of work. Do we need to do this? Is this really, you know, I don't know what questions might be coming up. Red flags people are concerned about. If people are just wondering, like, what would the next steps be? Yeah.
I think one question I have, I guess just, and partially this is, product of never having seen a board operate in this manner.
Yeah.
Is like, I'm like, does this just look like we have academic committee in the middle or like is thrown in the middle or like what does it look like for a board that is not micromanaging and not giving advice to spend 50%
yeah.
of student outcomes? Like, does that mean just they're reporting that entire, like, that also, like, does that
make so sense? From what I've seen so far, I've seen like a 2-hour board meeting, couple 2-hour board meetings, which I was like, 2-hour board meetings sound pretty nice. And about an hour of it is the superintendent or their designee giving a report saying, okay, we have this goal 2, and tonight we're monitoring this part of goal 2, just like this, each goal has kind of 3 interim goals. So you might just be on monitoring like 2.1, which might be like, for example, the percentage of students who hit a growth goal on NWA, you know, in certain grades or something like that. So the monitoring might include the admin team, like bringing the data, which is not that, you know, that happens already, but clearly aligned to whatever the goal was at the right time. And then us publicly asking questions about what happened, not forward-looking questions like what are you going to do about it or so, but just trying to spend time in public And therefore also helping the public engage on like understanding these outcomes and like what happened maybe that. So for example, if we saw a particular gain in that report, we might have questions about like, what did you, do you have any insight yet into like what might have attributed to that gain or something like, or vice versa. But we would be the, you might be able to see, I don't know if it's on this rubric or a different one. You like lose points if you start pontificating on behalf, you're like, well, I think the superintendent should do this, or this is the problem about why the scores are what they are. Like, that's not our role. Our role, the guy tells the story of, he's got to get to the airport and he's in an Uber. And he knows because he's heard on the news that the highway is closed. So he gets in and he's like, hey, even if it wants to take you on the highway, please don't take the highway because I got to get to the airport. Like the value that he's protecting is like his time. He's got this one piece of information. He just says the one thing he can't do. But after that, the driver gets to decide like what exact route they take. And like, as long as he honors that guardrail of like not taking that highway because the board knew, you know, the guy knew. That it was closed for construction or whatever it was. So similarly, it wouldn't be our job to be offering that advice. Now, if they ask, they can ask us whatever they want and we can be helpful as much as we want, but that's an invitation on their, we're staying in our lane until forever, unless something happened, which it never, and it would, there's no expectation that they would ask. It's about us helping make sure that we're convinced that they're clear on the data themselves and that they're ready to do whatever they think is the right thing for what comes next.
Are the goals part of the work that happens?
The goals could come from a bunch of things. One, we would start from like, whenever we had goals, you don't actually hold your superintendent accountable to them for like 18 months unless they were clearly things that like we were just articulating or codifying things that was already clearly in motion. And, you know, that, and the superintendent was like, oh no, that one you can hold me accountable to now, because like that's not new. You know, we were just catching up to it and codifying it in a certain way. You get to the goals through the community listening. And the community listening could look like FAC meetings and a few additional and morning coffees. And it could even start with like, this is what we think the goals are. Come and talk to us about this. Are we off? Are we, you know, in this, you know, and that kind of thing. And in our case, because we're a pretty small community, I would say that our community includes our teachers, it includes our administration. It doesn't have to just be like only the parents. Lots of people can own the school and be invested in the long-term success of the school.
What happens if you, or how would you know, like that phone, and then does the stain within the guardrails, is that a like a
value? They get monitored too, just like the interim goals do. So like we'd have a count. So if you can have unlimited guardrails, which yeah, but you don't want to have too many.
Yeah.
But for any guardrail, like you'd want to be able to articulate like what would it mean to monitor that, you know, partway through the year? Like, are we honoring that guardrail?
Mm-hmm.
And the guardrails align to the values of the community. So it's like, if you honor diversity, then the guardrail is like, don't just hire, you know, people from one background, stuff like that. Yeah. So you have a monitoring calendar that gets adopted. There's no gotcha monitoring. You don't ask the soup to like be prepared on a goal that is not on the calendar, and you make the calendar match like the natural order of when, you know, there is something to monitor so that it's timely. Otherwise, like, it's not going to be interesting or helpful. And it can have implications for like, you can then build your board calendar from that. Like, do you have to meet every month? if there's not the right thing to do. Part of it is like just a general right sizing of the board's public work to whatever it needs to be for the school, which then again, like less is more. You know, it's like one less thing that Krishna has to attend. Oh, Anne, you have a comment?
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting, the piece about community and student engagement. And you kind of, I was trying to think about ways that that could happen, and you kind of just answered it in your explanation, or you're throwing out some ideas about ways we could do that. But I found that fascinating about it.
I mean, it could also include, it's panorama survey data. It's asking the kids, the teachers, to like put up a chart paper and let kids like write things down, like,
yeah, you know,
what do I want to do when I'm out of eighth grade? What are my goals? And what are parents' goals? What do you want to do and know? That's part of it. But then you don't set a goal for every single thing that everybody comes up with. That can all be there in the vision, but then you say to yourself, okay, what are we going to prioritize now? So that's part of the board's work, is to say, we heard this one a lot more, you know, and so maybe that one is more important right now and it has a goal. The other thing is that the goals are framed like 5-6 years down the, you know, down the road. They would say you can have up to 5, but they recommend 3. And then for each goal, you have exactly 3 interim points or interim measures towards that goal. And the interim measures are actually developed by staff, because they have to, like, they need to be highly correlated. So for example, like it in this process, if we had a goal around SBAC proficiency, like a long-term, like eighth graders leave urban at this percent proficient, for example, well, then if we were using NWA data as interim data, we'd want to know that there was a correlation between those two assessments. Go for it. Come on. Lay it out there.
I think it sounds interesting. It sounds a lot done.
Yeah.
I think that even like if the goal is to do that we need 3 interim goals to get there.
Okay.
In terms of where we're at in terms of staff and administrative capacity, because currently we're onboarding brand new admin and we cannot delegate those things to them yet. Mm-hmm. Not yet, right? And so we're not a network. And while I am superintendent, I do not have a cabinet. And so the ask currently falls on me, mm-hmm. to do those things, which our capacity has grown to do some of those things more. And I think it's a great, like, there's some stepping stones that we can take probably much sooner. I have some trepidation around, just figuring out what that might look like for us. Because it's not what it's ever been.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think there's just maybe some more. I think it's, like, clearly not a decision for today.
No.
Decisions to be made. And, like, I don't know how that decision gets made exactly. It might be over the course of this year's board meetings and executive committee meetings. Like, what are the small steps we're taking?
Yeah. It could be
sense with, like, the sort of capacity and the size of our organization, right?
Yeah, I think if flip it on the head. If you were like, oh, we got to do this, and Dan, you were like, this is awesome, and my answer would still be the same thing, which is, the first tiniest thing to do is for more folks just to read more of the materials and just kind of sit with the language and the definitions and that kind of thing. And then the work we could do is, like, we could make a Google Doc with our official vision on it. And then as we're all out there talking with families or staff or teachers, it could just be like, if you hear something that you think is like, oh yeah, that this person cares that kids in our community know or can do this, and just collect those things is, like, probably the main step. And a lot of them we have already collected. Like if I put down on a piece of paper, I want kids to be ready for high school. I want kids to be proficient on SBAC. I want kids to be caring friends. I want kids to, you know about their identity and where they come from. Like we could list a lot of things and we could share it back out to a broader community. And I think a lot of people in the community would say, yeah, that sounds good. They might, and then they might add a thing. But that's kind of the initial process. It doesn't have to be a massive thing and it does not need to involve immediately everybody.
Presentation on data point, it's definitely different than what the current asked of.
Oh no, let me clarify. It would not be an hour long presentation on a data point. The presentation on the data would take as long as you need to share that data point, which could be a minute or a couple minutes. And then for us, it would be questions, which could be whatever it is. The point is that if we take 15 minutes to understand it, then the rest of our meeting only needs to be 15 minutes. That's part of it. So what you see boards do, you put way more stuff on consent, and we already do a good job of that. And you put things like we were going to talk about this, like finance committee, for example.
Right.
Like finance committee could become a report that we could put on consent so that at least we have evidence that like people are actively voting on it, to just vote to receive it, vote to approve the report. But it doesn't have to be we don't have to go into it as much because that's I think in our bylaws, but we could eventually change those too. Like we're supposed to be monitoring some stuff every month, or our fiscal management policy calls for like the committee to monitor things.
The committee, not the full board.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the committee does that already in finance meetings. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So the idea.
So there could be a great shrinking of that.
I like the idea of not, of the board meeting not being like an info share or things we already have.
Yeah.
That feels a little bit, it makes some sense to have FAC share because those meetings are different, like outside the board scope or like include all these other people from the public. Potentially that would be, make sense. And for us to continue to share updates of things potentially or slightly different things that are asked for by the board. But I love the idea of come to executive or just look at the notes that are in the documents on the board. You can put them just in the documents. They don't need to be on consent because they don't require approval. Right?
Well, part of what we do at our board meetings, your head of school reports are often they're great information for the board, but in this frame, they're like parent meeting reports. They're like, they could be a parent meeting report, that you would have with the PTA or somebody like that. So it's possible that that's the sort of information. And our board meetings double as that in some ways, as for the families that want to access that kind of information. So we could keep it in our board meetings because that's our culture. Or you could end up having quarterly head of school reports that go to the community, not to the board.
Yeah.
Right. Or whatever.
And every once in a while, they will be testing data. A lot of times, the head of school report and pandemic overlap, but that would then be part of the.
Every meeting would have a goal. This is down the road, would have a goal monitoring session. And that would be more what you'd be preparing for. But the author, I think, would tell us tonight, I was psyched about all the information in your report. I love it. And I think he would say, none of this, whatever they have to do with training the teachers, Orton Gillingham, whatever, that's all a means to the end of student outcomes. And we should be up here in student outcomes and leave the means to them. And if they feel like they need to share with us, great. But if they don't, they don't. That's not what we're should be focused on, even though I love it.
But it's not really any different than the Friday.
Email. Yeah, and sometimes the Friday emails are informed, you put stuff from here in those and then vice versa. So yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
I like the idea of generally speaking, and I think it's a slow process to a big change that could be positive.
I will say I know that you and Daniel and your admin team have goals. I know that there are
very clear goals that you guys hold. I don't think they're public, generally public knowledge. Like, I don't think you withhold them, but I think that a lot of parents don't know how to access that information. Or
right.
Because
we're shared in board meetings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I feel like having a means of, and a means of publicly sharing the goals and having them be part of the information. I mean, we'll still be at board meetings, but in
like, it would, yeah, but like, really, that's almost, maybe that's just the communications thing anyways, right? Like, and like, we had spoken with MAC about the sort of like, I don't have it right now, but sort of a global communications plan, but it's like, why, like, our Friday updates are just like informational updates that like, little snippets and like a picture or something, right? But like, should we be doing, like, should Director of Student Services be writing, like, something once a month about something? Should I be writing something different and higher level, right? Like, should we have, but we also don't want to overload, like, overloading comms is actually bad. So how do we, like, how do we kind of shorten and streamline Friday messages so that people look at them, or like what actually needs to go out to people, and like how do you share? We don't share this stuff. Like, I could share that, but like
people
right
that,
now it wouldn't get seen even if I sent it out.
Yeah.
And so like it's like, what are the different ways we're in places we're communicating those things, and what's sort of like the global plan? Because classroom volunteers can post to their classroom 4 times a day, and that will blow out the Friday message in the digest. And so like, I thoughtfully override the digest if I want people to see it.
Yeah.
And I do it thoughtfully. I'm like, I don't want this in the digest. I'm going to send this outside the digest, so it comes right now as a single standing email to people's boxes. Because I don't know what the room parents are sending out in every single room today.
Right.
And like, teachers are sending their messages on Fridays. Getting 17 messages on Friday.
So
I'm off.
It's all good. It's all good.
Our very diet.
So why don't we, so I'm hearing a few tangible next steps. Finance committee can work on dieting.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly as it relates to the board. Okay. So the board can expect that probably moving forward for like September.
Finance reports.
Yeah. Like, I'll let you. Yeah. It may not be agendized.
Yeah.
It'll just be on consent as its own thing.
Yeah, I can be holding people up questions. I mean, that's a reason to put it on consent.
And I want to know. Yeah. Which is totally fine. And then, so that's a huge move right there. I could create a Google Doc that's public that anyone can kind of comment in, where if people want to, you know, start listening for like, it's listening for the vision and values, but it's listening for like, what do we want kids to be able to know and do, and what matters to us, like what, and how we do work together. And again, we have
one thing I'm stuck on for that is like, to what extent are we like defining that anew and like building from, like, there's so much that we have, like there's a set of values.
Yeah, I would not start from nothing. I would start directly from what we have.
In the
on the website, on the handbook.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd put a bunch of things and just acknowledge these are all things we have. We have the 6 goals. We have a vision. We have values. We have community agreements. And we have LCAP goals.
Yeah.
And I just put all those things in one place and just say, what else? It doesn't have to be a distilling at this time or anything like that. And this is not a process where like it matters to like distill those down into like the perfect vision or statements or the perfect value statements. What matters is that like the community agrees that like all this stuff collectively, yeah, that feels right. It's an over time, every whole community opportunity, anyone has a chance to weigh in on that. But people have weighed in to get us to all those things. people had opportunity to weigh in on LCAP, on vision and values, on community agreements. So to your question of like, should we start over on blank? I would say no. That makes people feel like unmoored. And I don't feel unmoored. I feel like it's just like acknowledging more. That doesn't have to be shared widely either. I can share it with you guys.
Yeah, I have.
And we can sit on that. Yeah.
Like, everybody's input matters, but like, there's reasons why me and Daniel are here that matter to us more, and that's why we're here. It's like, so I want to have a system for prioritizing, and like, and it's like, it's not necessarily not all of the. We're not gonna, like, sometimes I can't repave, right? Like, I'm thinking of all the things that matter.
Yeah.
All the things that matter, people that we hear that are important.
Which yeah.
Is, like, kids have a safe place to run.
Yeah.
Great, that does matter. And I can't repave this site for a whole bunch of actual logistical reasons. So that can't be our top important thing. And I don't want people to be putting their things and thinking that this is how they get it done.
Yeah.
Once it goes wildly public is what I mean. Like we need to be thoughtful about how we're engaging like families and stuff and entering something in there, because it's not where you put something that you want to get done.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of things that matter to people are things that they want to see get done.
Yep. And the author would be very clear that generally has nothing to do with the board. That would definitely be, they tell more stories about how someone wanted a stop sign in their community. And they, you know, so the council member, you know, goes out and starts listening and does the work and talks to more people. And turns out like the solution that is going to work for the right amount of people is not a stop sign. It's like three speed humps or something like that. And then the person at the first, like, I didn't want speed humps. I want a stop sign. And they're like, yeah, that's not what the process led us to. The community, as we engaged, it was clear that speed humps were like the way to go for what was best for the community. And that person like remained unsatisfied. And that's okay. And the point is that's okay. That's not the part of.
And I think if that's a piece of this process the board is managing, that makes sense. That's lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. So to your caution of baby steps and not going, I'm not interested. I'm not emailing this out. I'm not parent squaring this out to everybody or anything like that. It would be much smaller than that.
Okay.
Yeah. So finance that, and maybe I'll share like one more reading that people could try and engage with or something like that.
You need to start testing.
I'm not. No, I'm not. It's all good. It'll definitely. No, you don't.
I think yeah. I think you know we hold each other accountable for sure. Mm-hmm. And I'm not included.
No worries. Yeah.
Sure. I did buy the book.
I did read.
How could you not put it down? How could you put it down?
I did actually spend a lot of time on this website.
Oh, cool. On the coaching one. Yeah.
Okay.
I could share. I don't think you guys will do it. I'll share you a link to a board meeting that you can watch on Triple Speed or something like that, where they're kind of engaging in this process. No, you're just watching a public meeting, but they have clearly gone through these trainings because you're like, oh, they're behaving in a certain way. And then, yes, at the end, they do publicly score themselves. Yeah.
I don't know, but I'll watch it.
And I scored them. And I scored them on my own, and I got a different score than they did, and I was much harder than them. And then as I went through and got a little more training, I realized, oh, this, they got a lot more credit for things than I thought they would have. So.
But I mean, it does sound like it's also just an ongoing train. It's just like training is
the. Yeah. It's, and again, it fundamentally is, we're all here because we care about improving what students know or can do. Like, that's the purpose. And the other great thing about it is that, like, we as board members, we're not special at all. We don't have like, we're not in the board position because like we have some like greater wisdom or know-how or anything like that. We're simply we're just representing the community. That's our purpose. And so we have to listen to our community, and our community includes our hardworking educators and also our families and community members who don't have children, you know, people live across the street and things like that. And everything can matter. Everything can matter. Doesn't mean everything gets done, and it doesn't mean it's the board's work to do. And it really, you know, as we go through it again, like there's all those times where like the board is like, sounds like you need to talk to our head of school about that, you know? And the book talks about how head of schools get trained or superintendents get trained on like, and you're excellent at this, like knowing when to like go over to someone who's giving public comment or something like that and connect real quick, or like, hey, let's have a meeting, or on the microphone, like, let's have a meeting about that. You know, like that's what you do. Cause then you can like, cause that they don't need our help. They need your help.
Someone can check us.
Yeah.
And I think we have some good next steps.
Tiny things on this report though, on committee, like on upcoming board trainings.
Yeah.
Well, so there's a board secretary training. Can you sign me up for it? With the credit card?
Oh,
$75. Okay. Would you like me to email you about it again? Okay. And then there's a Brown Act training, also $75 per person if anyone needs Brown Act training. You signed up for that?
I need it.
You need it. So what's a good...
We're going to do everybody. It's just nice to send the links to Buck and say, here, sign these people up for this, because he can...
Oh, is Buck? Yeah. Buck can do the paying.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it's easier, like, hey, don't.
So five.
If we meet up next week to Sunday school, that'd be nice because it's very early.
Okay, so we can email Buck for signing up for Brown Act training, and maybe I'll email him also about the. Okay, great. Okay. Thank you. And then.
Head of school evaluation process. So Christian's drafting based on our memo, and it's going to bring those for next exact. Committee meeting, and then we'll talk about them in the next 4 weeks.
Amy
is going to be reaching out to Christian.
Sweet. I sent her a board on track. Sent us a training thing.
Oh, cool.
Like, did you? It's like an overview, governance versus management. It's their take on the same conversation we're just having. Yeah. I sent it to Amy. I was like, here. Here's some training.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. So, she was supposed to email me. And actually, probably not going to be a parent here in the future. And doesn't have a kid here now, but I know there was wondering about, like, oh, she's going to get
great, a non-parent.
Yeah, so she would be a non-parent.
A non-parent here.
Yeah, a non-parent here parent. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Any changes? Do your form 700 and see those training materials.
And are there any other public comments on that whole executive committee conversation?
I will throw out that my FAC board seat ends in October. I
will run for re-election,
or will run for a general seat and open up the FAC seat to someone else. Is that what that means? Or
again, it's still be a parent, but
it's
better to have a funny way, an odd number of people.
Yeah. But so, like, if seven, people have better
six, if we'll have you,
if no, that's all I was gonna say. If people have suggestions or ideas. I have struggled with board recruitment, FAC recruitment previously. So if people have ideas or suggestions for people to approach, someone can say, if you're interested in this role, just nominate yourself, but it's a weird process to get us to understand. So it's going to be cool.
Deb's been coming to meetings.
Deb also has an eighth grader.
Well,
FAC.
Great. Then she won't be in parent next year when she's still on the board.
Yeah.
I actually thank you for asking. I don't have time to do the board work. I wish I did. Maybe I'll come back later in service.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
We're always glad to have you, Deb. That makes sense. Thank you, Kara. I will think on folks.
Right. Any public comment? Cool. Other business. Greg.
I don't have much. I saw that the dyslexia screening became law. I don't think it's in effect yet, but like we'll have to. Every public school in California is going to have to screen through second graders every year. So that's exciting. And then the only other thing was that I saw OUSD shared some enrollment numbers at their board meeting last night. The superintendent shared, and it looks like they had more names in Aries than their projection, but their warm body count on day 10 was lower than their projection. And warm body count, I think, is probably more accurate. I mean, it's not totally accurate because some kids are just absent that day. So we'll see. I mean, their census day is still another week and a half, 2 weeks away. So for them. So, but everyone's, of course, talking about enrollment. Great School Choices has the blog. There's a blog, and they've been posting, you know, from their information from Oakland Enrolls. About like which charter run schools have openings. And it looks from the blog posts at a glance of like the chart that every school in the city has openings right now. So just to understand our enrollment in context, could you just answer this though? I forgot to ask you, is the school have more students now than it did last year? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So even if we're not quite at our budgeted projected number, we're still larger. Yeah. Okay. And larger in fewer classrooms. So doubly efficient, doubly more efficient as a structure.
One.
Financially efficient. I think that's it. Everything else has been, I mean, D5, the candidates for the D5 election were not allowed on the ballot, then they were allowed on the ballot. So they will. Yeah, they're allowed. They're allowed on. So there was another like city clerk voting thing. Maybe you guys, it was in the Oakland side. Yeah. And OUC's got a lot of board committees that need like citizen volunteers. If anyone, I think you have to live in Oakland. Yeah. Okay. I'll keep it. That's it. If we're gonna spend half our time on student outcomes, we're gonna spend less time on this. So
great. Okay.
Are there public comments on that? All right.
Are there any comments on the minutes from the board meeting? The community board meeting. There are no comments. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes? Second. All in favor?
Oh, we need to do unanimous. I vote yes. And you vote. Sorry, not unanimous. Individual, because Anne's on Zoom. That's all good. And you vote. How do you vote?
Yes.
Great. So it is unanimous. Sorry. Got it.
Any comments on what? No.
I have a comment on the next item. Sorry, I was just raising my hand. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Greg.
I was going to just share that Finance Committee wasn't able to meet, and so we weren't able to look as deeply at this contract. So that's why it's not on consent. But it is the Lunchmaster contract for the school year. It comes with the strong recommendation from the administration. And I, with that, make a motion to approve.
Second.
Anne, how do you vote?
Yay.
This is Greg. I vote yes. Kara?
Yes.
And Sarah. Great. Thank you.
All right. Handbook items on consent, family handbook, employee handbook, plan for safe return in person, and exec
And then there's the down below with the attachment for the opposition.
I move to approve. Second. Is there any public comments on that or any items that need to be pulled? Sorry.
Motion to.
We are. I motion. She seconded. How do you vote, Sarah?
Yes.
How about you, Kara?
Yes.
I vote yes. Anne, how do you vote?
Yes.
Approved.
Any new business items for future meetings? All right. Community agreement. We didn't actually remove this part as we were kind of shipping. We were doing it.
You want to table this part?
No, I would like to say that I think we did a good job with expect and accept non-closure. We're navigating, thinking about how to change things and in ways that I think are going to be good and powerful. And so we should really be in the mess and think about how to change things to be better. Going to
close
session at 6:53.
On what topic?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Going to close session on public employee performance evaluation. Are there any comments?
Yeah, any public comments? Deb's saying goodbye. Bye, Deb. Yeah, one moment. Okay. And let me pause the recording.
We are coming out of closed session at
6:58.
No actions taken. Have a great night. We'll be live.
All right, we're adjourned.